Londonistan is the name that foreign intelligence services allegedly gave London in the years leading up to 9/11, a reference to the presence in the British capital at the time of many extreme Islamic jihadists. Londonistan is also the name of a book by the British commentator Melanie Phillips, who's currently in Australia. Melanie Phillips believes that her hometown is still Londonistan, and that mass immigration, multiculturalism, and the onslaught mounted by secular nihilists against the country's Judeo-Christian values are destroying British nationhood. I asked her first about her description of what she calls a continuum that links peaceful, law-abiding, but nevertheless intensely ideological Muslims at one end and murderous jihadists at the other.
Yes, I do believe there's a continuum of extremism, but these things are not mutually contradictory.
What do you mean?
If I can just explain.
If somebody's a moderate, how can you have them under an umbrella of a continuum of extremism?
Because they're not moderate. This is the crucial confusion. People think that if there are some people who are moderate, then everybody's a moderate. Let me just unpick this for a moment. There are moderate Muslims. There are Muslims who are genuinely committed to pluralism, to tolerance, to freedom and democracy, and who wish just to get on with their lives and will have nothing to do with violence or the jihad.
But you said there's a continuum between them and the jihadists.
Can I just explain what I'm saying?
I'm trying to unpick it too.
Well, let me just finish what I'm saying. There are moderate, truly moderate Muslims. However, there is a continuum of extremism upon which people sit who some people think wrongly are moderate. They think they are moderate because they're not committed to violence. But in my view, such people tend to have views which are anything but moderate. Views such as the West is a conspiracy to destroy Islam. Views such as the Jews are the puppet masters of the West. Views such as British Muslims should live under Sharia law in Britain and Britain's own laws should become Sharia-ized. These views are not moderate. That does not mean that there are not genuinely moderate Muslims. Who we should be supporting. The problem in Britain is that we have become confused, as indeed your questions imply, that you are also confused, because there are people who claim to be moderate who are not, and we should recognise that they are not, but that does not mean that there are not genuine moderate Muslims who we are betraying by confusing them with people who are really extremists.
But who makes the judgment as to who is the moderate and who is not the moderate?
We all have to make these judgments, and we must make them on the basis of demonstrable facts, as I say.
Very well to say we all have to make the judgment. I mean, put yourself in the position of, let's say you were the Home Secretary in Britain. What would you do? How would you make that judgment, and what would you do when you had?
It's not rocket science. If a Muslim says, I endorse the murder of Israelis in Israel or coalition forces in Iraq, I don't think it is so difficult for a Home Secretary or anybody to say those people are not moderate in anyone's book. The problem in Britain is that the British establishment has endorsed people with such views as moderate on the spurious and, in my view, morally degraded grounds that they don't actually endorse violence against Britons.
What do you do, though, once you've identified these people? What do you do with them?
You have to... Basically, I think, take the view as a government. You should take this view. You should say, we have absolutely no problem with Muslims who wish to derive spiritual sustenance from their faith. They are welcome here and welcome to form communities of faith. But we will draw the line at, and we will have nothing to do with Islamism. We must shut down in every sense that we can, either by excluding from the country, either by imprisoning, either by shutting down, depending on circumstances being appropriate, people who are preaching and teaching incitement to violence.
Imprison them or exile them. How many would be covered?
I have absolutely no idea, but that's not the point. You ask me what we should do. In principle, that's what we should do.
But you must have...
There can be no argument.
Some idea of
why?
What you're talking about.
Well, I have no idea about the numbers, and why should I? I'm not in government. I'm not in the intelligence service. I mean, very few people know how many we're talking about. What we're talking about is a principle.
But a startling number of British Muslims said that they were in favour of the terrorist attacks of 7/7. Are you going to throw them all out? Because they sound like exactly the sort of people that you're saying should be exiled or imprisoned.
Well, in that case, you haven't understood what I'm talking about. It's one thing having a view. It's another thing expressing it in a way which is an active incitement. We do it with a whole lot of other things. We are a society which is pathologically against racism, and so we should be. But we basically shut down that sort of argument. We have no problem about doing that. No one then hysterically says, oh, what are you talking about? about throwing them out of the country if they're racist, throwing them out of the country if they're anti-Semites. I don't hear anyone saying that to anybody. Do you?
No, of but course you're not. The one who said imprisonment and exile.
Yes, imprisonment. Absolutely. Imprisonment if they are committing an offence. If incitement to violence, incitement to murder, you may be surprised to hear this, that is actually an criminal offence in Britain. If people commit that offence, in my view, they should be imprisoned.
During the enormous wave of terrorism that hit Europe in the late 19th century, the target of exactly the same kind of things that you're talking about now was the Jews. Karl Marx was a Jew, it was all a Jewish conspiracy. Are you not falling into the same trap of demonising a community?
If you are drawing a comparison between, I think that when you say Jews, this is let's unpick this. Are you talking about people like Karl Marx because he was a revolutionary who invented Marxism, communism, or are you talking about Karl Marx because he was a Jew? If you're saying that he was,
I'm talking about what was
a threat to the country
at the time.
As a Jew,
there was a national fear. At the time, because there was a wave of terrorism, and a lot of it was directed against the Jews were believed to be behind it. There was enormous persecution of the Jews, in Britain, for example. Aren't you afraid that the same thing will happen to ordinary, decent Muslims?
There was a great deal of anti-Jewish feeling. Founded on lies. This was fundamentally untrue. It was a prejudice. What we're talking about now is an actual mortal threat. I'm not aware, are you, of any Jews who went round blowing up the country in order to overturn Western society and impose a Jewish theocracy? To draw such a comparison is invidious. If you're saying that one should not act against a section of the community, of a community, which is demonstrably and in its own terms perpetrating a religious war, because on other occasions, at other times in history, as a result of bigotry and prejudice, people have made false accusations against other groups, then this, the logic of this, I'm afraid, quite defies me.
If you're right, then clearly it's imperative that you be listened to. Are you being listened to?
Certainly by the general public. I have found an enormous amount of support for what I am saying in Britain, in America, in Australia, among ordinary folk who feel they are betrayed and let down by the media and intellectual and political class, who try to shut down this debate, who confuse it, who spray around the kind of insults that I've heard this afternoon in your programme, directed against me. And those ordinary people feel completely powerless because they believe that they are being put at risk by an official intelligentsia establishment political view of attitude of mind, which for various reasons is just not getting to grips with this whole very difficult problem.
Melanie Phillips of the British Daily Mail and author of the book Londonistan.